Hey, it's Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, Tokyo, Japan, and we miss our dog. That's not the fun intro that we usually do.
For those of you that don't know, Spudgy passed away on Friday for us.
Right.
And so we've been having a real hard time with it. You guys have been just sending amazing drawings and pictures and, you know.
And sharing your favorite memories of Spudgy as well. And today what we want to talk about is grieving and mourning and how it's affecting us and how we're pushing through it and what we're trying to do to move on with the rest of our lives. Because
I like how last week was like a snap out of it. Yeah. And we were like, things are doing okay. Oh, and then we were like,
yep.
Nah.
This has been a pretty shitty month, let me just say.
Yeah, it's been really, really shitty.
So when it comes to grieving for Spudgy, it's this is my first ever experience of death in family. Like, my grandfather died when I was younger, but I never really was that close to him. I only saw him like once, but
he lived in Poland, right?
He lived in Poland. Yeah. I saw him like two times in my life. Mm-hmm. So like, I was kind of sad.
You
but
didn't
not
form
really.
A relationship.
I didn't form a relationship. Yeah. But with Spudgy dying, this was something that I just never experienced before. Yeah. And it's really made me... It was my first experience of death and the idea of like change, because like we discussed this yesterday, like Martina and I have been going on lots of walks with each other and talking about
things. We've just
been
trying to, you know, get out of the house. It's quite hard. Like, it sounds different.
Yeah.
Even though Spudgy didn't do much, I like miss his little garf, garf, garfs and his little snores. And like,
it just, the house feels empty. Yeah. And like, for the first couple of days, we just like wanted to stay home and do nothing. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to like eat junk food and just.
You
like,
say we just wanted to. We did.
Yeah.
After we did our like Spudgy's Irish funeral, if you haven't seen it, we did like a live stream where we tried to talk about all the great stories of Spudgy that we love.
Right.
We drank more after that. Yep. And then we just ate junk food and we had ramen and cup ramen, and we ate just from the convenience stores. And like by like the third day or so, which felt to me like a month, it felt like a month had gone by. Mm-hmm. I felt like we are punishing ourselves, or like...
Martina's sense of time is also really off.
Totally
because,
warped.
Like, it was Friday that Spudgy passed, and it was like Saturday in which we like really push ourselves, but from Spudgy passing on Friday to like 18 hours later, it felt like a millennium.
It did,
felt like the like such a long day. Like, we were both like with each other, but we were also like isolated at the same
in
time,
our
like,
own little,
in
like
our own
minds,
little minds,
you know?
Like, for me, this felt like this is like the one of the biggest changes of my life. Like, I feel like, you know, moving to Korea was a big change, moving to Japan was a huge change, but like Spudgy was consistent through most of that.
Yeah, well, you know? We got him in our first year in Korea.
We got him like our first month in Korea.
Yeah,
you know, like, we got him right away and he was with us for that entire time. So this feels really weird for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like how as we talk about this, Memers is on the ground going,
"Yeah,
like,
it's
hey,
me.
We have
me too. Give me some food."
Memers has been acting weird too. He's been meowing way too much and walking around in weird places, like in the washroom and standing on his hind legs. And we're like, "What are you do? Like, what are you doing?" Like,
and
everyone feels weirded out.
I've never cried this much in my life.
I've never seen Simon cry so much
for anything. Like, just I can't remember crying this much. Like, I like the 2 days before when like. Right before, what do you want, Memers? You can't.
Please.
Please, please, more kibs. Does he have food? He's out of food. That's why. You're not going to be.
Keep going.
For the 2 days before Spudgy died, I was just like holding him and crying. And then I just was like ugly, ugly, loud sobbing like the day of. And it just like even afterwards, like I still like have these memories. And even to today, like we're still crying. Every day. It's getting easier.
Yeah. Everyone always says the same thing. It's just time, you know?
It's just time.
It's just like if you have a breakup.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a divorce.
Yep.
If you quit a job or don't want to quit a job. If you move to a new country. Like all these kind of things where you might have like a death in the family of any kind. Everyone can tell you a million different things.
Yeah.
But the really only comfort that comes is just time, because it stops making it feel as raw.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we've been talking about is how to... make sure that in the grieving process, we don't hurt or damage each other or the people around us that we love.
Right.
Because my concern is, like, I keep talking about Hunger Games.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, in the movie Hunger Games, the main character is talking about how when she gets called into like to be the, you know, the
Katniss Everdeen, when she gets called to fight.
Thank you. My brain is like super foggy.
Like, she has a scene with her mother in which, like, she says to her mother, like, you can't check out like you did when dad died.
Yeah.
And for something like 2 years, like, the character's mother was just like totally mute. And this was not very helpful
because she had to raise her daughter.
She didn't handle grief well at all. Yeah. And like, we're like, we can't do that to each other. We can't do that to ourselves. We have to keep on trying to do things and get as much time between us and Spudgy's passing as possible. And the best way to do that is not to sit at home and mope, because then the time is going to go on that much longer. And when we're thinking about it, we have to push ourselves to get out.
Yeah.
And what we wind up doing, I think that there's something really special about what happened when Spudgy passed. Mm. It was on Friday, and after the cremation, the funeral owner, can you get him some kibbs? So we were dropped off at Mitaka Station. The guy that drove us to the temple would, like, asked to drive us home afterwards, and we said we didn't want to go home.
He's
because
the funeral director.
The funeral director. And we wouldn't, like, if we came home and we just, like, were there right away, then we would be very, very uncomfortable. So we decided, let's go out and explore the Mitaka area. So we walked around for a bit. We had a ramen. We grabbed some strong zeros, which are really junky kind of like little alcoholic drinks, and we walked back home from Mitaka Station to there. And on the way back home, we saw this weird little restaurant. We don't know where it is in Mitaka. We don't know the address. It's somewhere between our house and the station. And we saw this like little tiny house that had like a yakitori sign outside and a man sitting in there by himself, an older man sitting in there by himself.
And I should mention that it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
We were wearing rain jackets.
Yeah.
We couldn't hold our umbrellas. So we just were waddling around holding two strong zeros, crying in the rain.
Yep.
And just holding hands and looking miserable, like two miserable lost children. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how to find this place because we were just going like left, right, left, right, left. Just like we just
zigzagging.
We were just walking, you know. Actually, this was what led up to our Irish wake because we had already planned, like, we can't keep doing this for the whole night.
Yeah. So then like we came home and we did our Irish wake.
So we walked past this place and I looked inside and I saw one old man. He's just sitting there, but he wasn't sitting like a customer. He was sitting like someone who owned it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to glance at it and I saw him by himself watching TV and we kept going.
Yeah.
We didn't think about it, right?
The day afterwards was Saturday and we were like feeling really sad for ourselves at home again.
I had to get up at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, for your hospital.
For my EDS appointment because they're like moving locations, so I couldn't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
And I just got up in a daze, like a baseball hat and like my glasses on and went to the hospital. So I was really, my ladder was like a footstool at this point.
So then we said, we got to get out of the house again. We got on our bikes and we just started like pedaling around, just trying to find something, just like looking at different things. Oh, what's that? Just trying to talk about anything that isn't our dog.
Mm-hmm.
And then we somehow found this place again when we didn't expect to find it.
What's weird about it is we biked past it and then I said to Simon, hang on, pull over a second. And I said to him, isn't that the yakitori place that we walked past on Friday? And we were like, It is.
Yeah.
And so we pulled our bikes up and just parked on the side of the road. It was like, the reason why we say that it's hard for us to find it again is because this isn't off a main street.
No.
It's in the local neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was a house that just happened to have a yakitori sign and like a little grill out.
So then we said, forget it. Let's just go inside and try it out. And when we walked into the restaurant, it was the old man by himself again. Mm-hmm. And nobody else was there. He was sitting there watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
For like, and not even like sports or anything, he was just watching like people in Japan experiencing other parts of Japan,
like those reality shows where they go around
to explore this temple or going to explore this. And we came in there and he was so excited to see us.
Like, we stuck our head in and we were like, oh, konbanwa, and he jumped up and I said, like, nimei daijoubu desu ka? Like, I wasn't sure if he was open, like, two people, is it okay? And he was like, he's like, oh, daijoubu, daijoubu, like, and he jumped up, like, it was like the vigor,
right?
It wasn't like, oh, like these two people came in, like.
So we came in there and we sat down into this like tiny little yakitori
shop. Four seats,
and not even like four old seats.
Yeah,
like really old stools, and this like you could see that he was sitting there eating and drinking by himself.
And so he was like quickly trying to like pick up his side dishes and he was eating squid, dried squid and his like drink, and he was like moving it away.
We looked at the glass counter in front of us and it was all like dried seafood. I'm like, oh, could be dry seafood. Maybe we could just like get a beer. So we asked for, you know, two beers, and he pulled out two bottles of Sapporo, really ice cold.
And everybody's table spot had their own little old school metal beer opener that looked like it was from the 1940s. Right. Like it was so old. And and we kind of like looked around the shop and we realized like it's this tiny, tiny place with this behind the counter, just hundreds of different mismatched plates, which is quite common when you go to like a mom and pop shop.
Right.
And then when I looked over to my left, I could see his like home,
living room. Yeah. So
it was literally walking into someone's
house. And it was bizarre because like when you looked at the back and you saw all these dishes, I'm like, there are not enough spots in this restaurant for those many dishes.
Yeah.
Like there, and they're not that many customers. You probably need like 10 or 20 dishes most, but he had so many, right? And then like he had like little glasses on the counter, and like we just grabbed our own glass.
And like, he said, like he told us to just grab a glass.
And you know, like we poured a beer, and then, you know, like he sat down and he started talking to us. And to us, it didn't actually feel like a restaurant. It felt like we were visiting a father.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, like my kids are back home. Come on in. You know, what do you want to eat? Do you want some this or do you want some of that? And he like showed us these like yakisoba packs, packages that he had.
And he leaned over the counter to give us some, like, he said, oh, service, service. Yeah. And he gave us these little plates that he had put together. Or one was hijiki, I want to say. It's like a really thin seaweed that's like a soy sauce. It's quite salty.
Yeah.
It's made for eating with beer.
Right.
And then the other side was,
burdock root.
Burdock root, right. Yeah. Which is, I don't even know what that is in English. I don't even know. It's called burdock root in English. Yeah. And I was like, that doesn't help. But he didn't speak a lick of English. It was not just all lick. Japanese. How we managed to sit there and talk to him for like an hour and a half blows my mind, because we're going to tell you some stories because things just got more and more layered with like interestingness as we sat there.
We did our best to like look around the shop and like to try to understand like what this was, like what's happening around us. And like, you know, we looked behind us and we saw tons of pictures of the royal family
and old photos of young people wearing like tuxedos and gloves standing with very well-dressed Japanese people. So we're looking at these and we're like, is this his like mom or dad, or is it his, you know, who is this?
And then he's like, oh, you want some yakitori? Like he like showed us plate, you want some of these? And we're like, yeah, sure, you know, like give us, you know, whatever you got. And he like ran outside and he like he had his grill
Out it wasn't there. Lit when we walked past it and he came out with the binchon and like he lit it and he laid them all out and he was super excited and he had these like sticks that weren't in the front display. I guess because there's not enough people coming in. And I thought to myself, does this man get up every day and prepare yakitori skewers? It was the momonegi, which is like chicken thigh and then with green onion. Does he prepare this every day in hopes that somebody will come by? And does he eat it if no one comes?
Because like I didn't see anyone there yesterday, and like we were the only people there for like the hour and a half that we were there. And like he's making a lot of food for,
and it was
like
Saturday night.
And when we like when he was cooking there, he just had such a glow of happiness to
To be helping and
he
cooking.
He was so happy to be, you know, able to cook for us. And he just, it really felt like I was in somebody's home. But turns out that it actually was his home. And, you know, he lives there. And he started, like, after he finished cooking, he started showing us the pictures, the tuxedo picture of there was a man in a tuxedo with, like, white gloves on. He's like, oh, that's me.
And we were like, what?
So he explained, like, through, it took us a long time to figure this out.
Yeah.
But he actually showed us pictures of, there was this very big dinner that happened for the royal family.
Prestigious event,
And he was one of the chefs there.
So he showed us all these he grabbed, which, by the way, if you're watching this podcast, if you're watching the pod video on our bonus channel, I'm going to be including pictures that you guys can be seeing. So if you're listening to this in the car or somewhere else, you know, come back and check out the channel just to actually see the photos that we're going to put up. But these photos, the stack that he had, he's got, he's by the chef area. Then you see him like bringing things out. Then he opened up, he brought us this royal book and he flipped through it. It's an official one.
I'm not sure what her name is. I hope I don't offend anybody that really loves the family, because I don't know the names. I think it's either Princess or Empress Michiko. I think that was her name.
Maybe, yeah.
I thought it was Michiko because I remember a G-Dragon song that sounded familiar. Like, this is how I'm going to remember it. And There was just a book dedicated to her, and he like showed us like all these pictures.
What an unbelievably elegant woman.
My gosh.
This book, beginning to end, they showed her when she was younger, like playing tennis and playing the harp, and the way that she stands.
Yeah.
I think of it like the Princess Diana feeling that people have in England for how graceful and lovely. Yeah.
It felt like the British royal family in a way. Like that was my closest equivalent of, of understanding it. But I know that there are huge differences between the two.
Oh yeah, we're not saying that. We're just saying the elegance and the feeling that you have when you see like the training that you can tell that this woman would wear. The most elegant kimono, walk beautifully.
The way she held her
hands in the photos would be like this interesting.
Folding it over in ways that I've never folded
tense,
my hands
before. Like there was
before.
No muscle cramping. Yeah. Like everything was just this beauty. Anyways, the point is that this
he
official
book. He
was
a huge fanboy of her.
Yes. But when he was flipping through the book, he said, he pointed at this official picture of them wearing these beautiful traditional kimonos in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls out his photos. Mm-hmm. And his, you know, old photos where it's a photography. There's no digital anything.
Ain't no selfies going on here.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's when we started to understand the connection that this photo in the book, which is obviously an important era, like maybe it was coming of age, maybe it was like a wedding or something. I have no idea, but that he was showing us. And then he'd be like, this is where they sat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd open up a book and be like, and this is where they are right now. And I'm like, holy smokes.
And then after he told us his story, like he ran over to his living room that we could see and he
took off his shoes, took off his shoes over the edge.
And he waved me. He's like, come on, come on. Mm-hmm. Invite me into his living room. Like, okay, cool. So I'm like,
son, drink my beer and eat my chicken.
Sure. So I walked into his living room and he like told me to sit down on his couch. And his living room was just full of memorabilia.
Yeah.
He had these glass boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And in every glass box, there was this different kind of statue that he said was very expensive.
Yeah.
I am by no means an art historian, but these all looked very old. Yeah. And they weren't a similar style either. They were all a whole bunch of different styles.
They were porcelain dolls. Yeah. Some of them looked like geishas that were like really beautiful, like beautiful geisha makeup and hairstyles and really a gorgeous looking kimonos that were made that were detailed like to the max. And because it was in glass, they were in prime condition.
He had some famous sumo, I think they're called funabashi, like the things that like you wear around your crotch. And I think he said that they're funabashi and from sumo. So he pointed some of those.
He had lots of tanukis.
Yes.
He had the neko, like the magic lucky nekos.
But like all of it was like, it wasn't like perfectly like even and everything. Like it was just stacked on top of other things and stacked on top of like magazines and this and that. But he just had so much memorabilia in there. He's like, oh, here's this, here's this. And then afterwards he's like, come on up. And then he like invited me upstairs.
and I was then, like, well, either this guy's a serial murderer and Simon's going to die.
Right.
Or hopefully he would never leave one person downstairs while someone else is being murdered. Right. So I'm like,
so then like he started walking upstairs. It was pitch black upstairs. I'm like, I'm going to give me some distance. I know he's not going to murder me, but if he tries, I at least he can't be too close for a stabbing, you know? So like I waited for him to go in the room and he like pulled on the ceiling like three times in order to get it going. And like he showed me his bedroom. He had a small little mattress.
Just
on
one
the
room,
ground,
right?
Just one single room for his bedroom, that is. And then they were like, plenty more like statues and boxes all around there. And then he's like, oh, let me show you another room. He had like three other rooms in the back. It was really deep. Like it was a lot deeper than his actual living room depth.
I heard you guys creaking around.
Yeah.
So when I was sitting there, I could hear you guys walking and I could hear you talking a bit, which is how I knew that
he took me into a room of all his tuxedos that he wound up having.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't tell you that.
No, he didn't tell me
that. So they were like all his tuxedos.
And the white gloves.
Yeah. So it's just, it seemed like he had a really rich life of doing all this. But he also lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a single mattress. There was no room for his family. It made me wonder, like, does he have any family? Or like, what, like, he didn't mention it. He just talked about like his time.
And he was 84 before. By the way.
So he was 84 and he was living by himself in this house. And you know,
totally vocally chattable, like not like he wasn't losing his mind or anything.
And he was just like telling us these great stories. You know, like when we went back downstairs, you know, like Martina went to the living room and he started showing us some pictures as well.
So he pulled out a big stack of photos to show me, and he didn't invite me upstairs, which we were happy. Like he knew that that would be weird and inappropriate.
Yeah.
He never tried. He just simply was like, oh, let me show you some stuff. And he showed me this stack of photos and he goes, this is Yokohama. And I'm like, whoa. And he's like, these are my gaijin friends. And there's this black and white photo of him with a bunch of beautiful Japanese girls wearing kimonos and a bunch of foreign guys in their tuxedos. And he's in tuxedos and they're all smiling. And then he's got photos from Okinawa and palm trees. And then he goes, oh, I was a bartender. And then he shows me this photo, this dope photo of him wearing like a black and white suit with a beautiful tie. And there's like the old Nikko whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know how old it was, in like an old looking, and it's this gorgeous black and white photo. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh yeah, I bartended, and he's showing me all this. And then he shows me this photo where he was a waiter and he's got like a tail on and it's a different event. And he just had this crazy life with all these photos. And I thought, you know, in none of these photos so far has he showed us like a family.
No.
And I think that people always assume that everybody that's old has been married.
Yeah.
Or like has a family. But maybe he didn't. Wasn't. Yeah. Maybe he was just like, I never met anyone, or I didn't want to get married. Or maybe he was gay. Like, who knows? Like,
who knows?
He just didn't have a family to show us.
Yeah.
And he had this rich life to share. And we felt like, I'm so happy we were able to come in here and have him talk to us about what was going on in his life.
Now, also, like, let me just say, we told him a few times, please slow down. We don't understand Japanese that well. So everything that we're telling you is like, we were able to pick up like one every 10 words. So like, I know that word. Bartender, Yokohama,
pond, baker.
I got this big, you know, okay. So I could pick up here or there, but like a lot of the grittier details.
He was talking so fast.
Way too fast.
I mean, he could have told us that his entire family was murdered and this is
no
where
idea.
Like,
I have no idea.
But it felt like we were keeping up with him because we would try to like confirm what we were saying and we'd be like, you know, like, you know, oh, this, like, you were a baker. And he's like, so. Yeah. So like, I think he was trying to like also help out with us. And then we had a big talk about onsens and going to public bathhouses. So we were talking about our tattoos and he said that, like, you know, some onsens, like, you know, don't let you in and stuff. But he's like, there's a really good one near Motaka Station. He's like, I think they'd be okay. And they're open till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and he's like, it should be fine.
Yeah.
And we were showing him some photos of places that we visited around Japan, like the Dogo Onsen.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to show him, like, this place is okay for tattoos. And he's like, oh, so what is this?
So like, it was just like, it was a great memory that we have, that we're going to be able to keep with us forever.
Oh, we poured beer with him.
Yeah, we shared some beer with him.
I asked him if he wanted some beer, and he's like, squishy, like a little bit. And so I poured him some beer, and we all compied.
No, you didn't pour him beer, girl. You poured him nothing but foam. Like, it was the worst pour ever. It was like 10% beer, 90% foam, and it was just overwhelming. It was pretty embarrassing.
It was a bad pour.
And Martina apologized, but he's like, no, just, you're pouring me beer.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
It was such a great memory that we had, and it was a good way for us to get our mind off of our sorrows. And it was a good way for us to keep pushing on and trying to get time between us and the pain of losing Spudgy.
And I also think that one of the things I talked to Simon about afterwards was that it also kind of gives you a bit of a reality check or a reality jog, because to me, Spudgy is such a huge part of our life, and he's a part of a lot of your lives as well. And people were sharing, you know, memories and pictures, and people were crying for Spudgy.
Right.
And I thought, here's this man who is a real human being, who's had a rich life, and is he going to die alone?
Yeah.
Like, is anyone going to know his stories?
Who's going to know? Like, a lot of people know Spudgy's stories. I want people to know this guy's story as well.
Like, there's this man doing this, like, had this amazing life, and does he have anyone visiting him? Like, he showed us photos of his friends, and he's like, oh, this is from 2013. You could see the stamp at the bottom. One of his friends was 79. Another friend was 76. And at the time he was like 70 something. And so now, by now, he's like 84. And I thought, his friends are older guys too. Like, what happens when his friends pass away and stuff? So it was really kind of like, it really made me feel like it's okay for us to mourn for Spudgy. He's part of our life, and of course that's okay. But we also can't let it consume us to the point that, like, we feel like there's nothing else in the world, because there are tons of people that are alone and should be, we should experience other people and meet them and tell their stories.
And if we gave in to our grief and just like sat and wallowed, we would have missed out on this experience. So we are going to keep pushing forward to try to keep creating things to make this podcast, even though we're not in the best mood right now.
I'm crying in the shower. And then I was like, time to put makeup on.
So we're doing this podcast. We're going to go out. We're going to try to take some photos today. Like, we're trying to develop our photography hobby some more.
So today our plan is we are going to like a park or just a part of Japan that we haven't really gone out to explore, and we're just going to take our photos. It's going to rain. We're going to get some rainy photos, and no goal, just to like get out of the house and do something that doesn't involve, like, unfortunately, I don't think we're filmable right now.
No,
like, I can't. I can talk to you guys, but I don't think I could pretend to be happy on camera right
at
now.
The moment, no.
So I need a little bit of time before that, you know.
And if you see us, we might be very drunk. FYI.
Well, I mean, we're not drunk now. We not are
yet,
sober, but
not yet.
It's
but
the afternoon.
If you see us in the park, then it might be a different story.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to keep on trying to push forward to make more memories, to hear other people's stories, and to keep on telling you new stories of the things that we've explored and discovered around Japan.
Yeah, we'll definitely have up and down days, you know, but yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.